Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It was weird coming in day one, especially because day one we were throwing our live BPs too, so I was kind of jumped right into it. And by weird, I mean I'm used to being able to walk around anywhere, touch anything, go in the training room. I'm using three different things. I touch the Theragun, then I'm on the Fat Tool scraper and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, it makes you kind of choose wisely because I want to make sure I'm disinfecting everything I touch. So you really got to plan it out a little better. You got to make sure that you're, again, abiding by the amount of people in the weight room, training room. You know, it really kind of comes down to a team plan as opposed to just doing your own program. So it'll take a little bit of getting used to, but I think a lot of guys said it right. And kind of understanding this is the new norm for now, and stop holding on to the past a little bit. So we understand what we got to do, and working together is number one.
Man, that's Mike's Braves pitcher, Mike Soroka, joining Sam Gregg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com on this hot Sunday morning. And listen, before I even get into the Braves, man, we lost this man. Was it this week? Sam,
yes,
we lost Charlie Daniels, man.
This week, man. One of the best concerts I've ever been to in my life.
I'm going to tell you.
I've been to a lot of concerts. Go ahead.
The biggest and I won't say hardest, but probably the hardest bear hug I ever got was from Charlie Daniels. When I was working down the dial, we did a charity event over at the Center Stage Theater, and it was him and Joan Jett and a bunch of, you know, just musicians. And so we were all gathered on stage, given the amount of money that we raised during that event, and I happened to be standing next to Charlie Daniels, and that dude gave me, he's holding his fiddle in one hand and just, you know, reached around and grabbed, you know, we were all lined up and put his arm around me and gave me a big old hug. I let it be 250. I'll never forget that.
You know what? My Charlie Daniels experience came when I went to work in Augusta. And when I went there at first, I was a news reporter backup with sports. So I just do sports occasions. So one of my assignments was to go and do a report at a concert. It was Alabama, and the opening act was Charlie Daniels. Now, fool that I am, I've never been to a country music concert before. So I don't know what I'm rolling into. I don't know what I'm getting myself into, man.
48
I'm like,
hours with Eddie Murphy walking into the bar. That's you.
yeah, right. I'm like, what am I walking into, dude? And I walk in there, and man, Charlie Daniels comes out there, and I didn't want him to stop.
Yeah,
such a phenomenal. Because I mean, whatever genre of music that you're talking about, the people that you go and see in concert master their instruments. They master their instruments. They're incredibly talented. And I guess, you know, I always figured country is some old dude on a git fiddle just strumming or something. And, you know, with a cowboy hat and some rhinestones. This dude came out on the stage, man. He worked the stage. Yeah, he played violin. He played piano. He played guitar. He just worked one end of the stage to the other. What a showman. What a showman, man. And I thoroughly enjoyed his talent, his gift. And just the way he worked his crowd and paid to see Charlie Daniels. You know, it's almost like, I won't say he's a country version of James Brown, but he was that kind of guy. If you're going to pay your money to come see me, I'm going to give you your money's worth.
He made you smile.
There were just a few people, work ethic, man.
No, you're right. It was boss-like, meaning Springsteen. And there are just certain people in every, as you said, every genre, there's people who they have an indescribable it factor. And when you are around them, they make you feel good. They make you smile. You can't explain it to anybody else. You just have to go see them or talk to them. But this dude was one of those guys that no matter what other type of music you love, if you heard his music or you were around him and heard him talk, he made you stop and pay attention. So we want to take a second to acknowledge him. We lost Charlie Daniels this past
week. Absolutely, man. Charlie Daniels, one of the best shows I've been to.
Yeah, Sam and Greg, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, 92.9TheGame.com. Getting back on course, you're talking about the Braves. Mike Soroka, you just heard a minute ago, talking about the changes these guys have made. Some of them were out. We talked earlier with John Bednarowski from the Marietta Daily Journal about how they were hanging out at Campbell High School, some of them this past week, getting some work and throwing on the side. But just how they have to carry themselves once they get, you know, into locker room situations on buses and planes and whatever, touching different things, the protocols that are in place. And you got to wonder how long that is going to last. But moreover, the information that they're getting, how many more guys are going to possibly opt out? We heard about Markakis this past week. I personally, as we were prepping, thought that he had already made his decision because we heard Nick come out right after Freddie Freeman tested positive and said, you know, I thought he had backed up 10 yards and punted then. But it was made official this past week that he's not going. He's opting out.
That's a big loss for the clubhouse for this team. And everybody knows what he's meant with this, especially the young players on this team, to have those examples around. And plus, it's the guy who wants to play. He's a hometown guy in the area. You know, he's came here, and after a great career, he came here and he made the All-Star team for the first time as a member of the Atlanta Braves.
The guy's on the back nine of his career, so obviously, yeah, he wants to get back out there.
But you like him in the lineup because of what he can do for you defensively, but also at the plate. He's going to put it in play. He's going to put it between the lines. You know, that's kind of what he does, and sometimes you just need a guy who will do that. And that's, you know, that's something that they're going to really miss. But, yep, that was the cut. As the Braves continue to work out each day, I think they're up to playing some scrimmage games. Now, they added a couple of exhibition games before their regular season. They announced this week they're going to play two games with the Marlins here before they go off to New York to start the season, I believe, and then go to Tampa Bay before they come back home. I believe it's the way the season goes. A couple of exhibitions, a couple of tune-ups, which, of course, we can't go see them. But, you know, they've added a couple of tune-ups against some live competition against some a different team before they go off to New York to get things started.
I think I'm one of the few people who don't have a problem with them instituting the DH for everybody this year. If the season gets up and running. I
don't have a problem with it.
No, but there's,
everybody's,
you know, there's people
always tried to keep that.
The purity of the game.
Yep, you know,
the traditional.
Right. Yeah. Well. Yeah. You know what? This is not a traditional year. You're trying to get through 60 games, and you just make everything. Even, you know. Well, there used to be National League and American League umpires too. There used to be a National League and American League strike zone. You know, there used to be. You talk about tradition. So I mean, that's and that's going to go away for this season, and you know, we'll see. If it sticks, if it's something they want. I know it would have been a tough sell here in Atlanta down through the years because, like I always say, we've had pitchers that were good hitters. You know, we've had some pitchers that could really hit. And you know,
I have lost Mr. Crenshaw. I don't know.
Going back to Phil Niekro. Going back to Niekro. You know, Phil Niekro was a really good hitter. So we've had a history of some good hitters, pitchers that could hit very well here in town.
Speaking of which, there was a Braves pitcher who actually changed the odds in Las Vegas this past week. I'll tell you that story coming up because of that the tournament that's going on in Vegas.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Listen, the Caesars book messed up big time. And a lot of people – I'm going to save this story, but it comes from the American Century Classic. Something happened, and then Charles Barkley dipped his toe into it. And it almost really went sideways.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. 92.9thegame.com. How do you feel about not hearing about who has tested positive, not only for Major League Baseball, and listen, Braves being the exception, because Snitker has gone to the guys who have had test results come back and asked them if they minded he putting their names out there, much like Freddie Freeman, but the rest of these teams don't have to do
right.
that. Also in the NHL, too. But you heard about Aroldis Chapman. He tested positive. Do you want to know?
Right.
Who's, you know, do you, I'm asking you, do you want to know who's tested positive now?
Is it important now, and will you maintain that as we get into the schedule? Because once again, that's just like that gets into your who's in and who's out that the NFL does before every game.
Right.
Why is that? Why is that report so important? Gabby. If you're a fan of the team, well, it's important because you said it. I didn't.
Yeah, well, it's not behind the curtain anymore. It ain't behind the curtain. Let's find out what's going on.
No.
I have absolutely no problem with that. But I'll tell you, it's not just the
with them identifying them or not identifying.
No, with them identifying it, because now, see, this is what I'm.
I don't either.
This is what I'm going to do this upcoming season. All right, if the things go off and we hear about guys who tested positive and then they sit out and quarantine and then they come back, I'm going to watch that player because it's going to be very interesting to see, A, are they going to have their wind back? Because this thing affects your lungs. We have heard repeatedly from these guys that have had it, I got no taste buds. They haven't come back. My wind, my stamina, and me smelling and tasting things have not come back to where they were before I tested positive. So there's little things.
You know what, Greg? Those are the early those are the early people who've dealt with it. Now, as younger people deal with it, they have some different after effects from it. We're still finding out about this virus. Right. We're still finding out about it. Everything is not written. Everything has not been discovered. And that's the thing about it. And we're talking about professional athletes participating, people who are or should be in the peak physical condition to participate in sports. And once again, that goes back more to this science class that this all has become right now. Baseball is not having a bubble. They're going to do things differently than what they're doing for the NBA, for basketball, and for soccer. And so, once again, this is another experiment. Can we sanitize? Can we tell guys not to spit? Can we tell guys, to do things they normally would do and not have an outbreak in clubhouses? I mean, that's what we're watching to see.
All right, so here's one. I pose this question to you. I pose this question to you, Sam, talking about baseball. And these guys get on the field. You want catchers wearing masks? I don't mean the outer one. I mean a mask that we all wear. Should catchers, in your mind, wear masks?
Yeah. I mean, they're going to wear that. I mean, that'd be difficult for them to play in one, I think. I think it'd be difficult for them to play with a mask on. Now, while they're sitting in the dugout, I think you're going to see guys wear masks when they're sitting in the dugout
while they're out there
on the field playing.
But this is an actual discussion. This is an actual discussion that's being made. There's pictures of these guys actually trying it. And we saw a couple games. It wasn't universal, but some of those South Korean games that we were watching, the catcher was wearing a mask while he was catching. Okay, underneath his face mask, he was wearing a mask.
It may be up to the player. If the player feels like he needs to give himself an extra sense of security of his own, then okay, considering where he is, considering what he has to do and what his role has to be. But at the same time, he still got to play the game.
Yeah, you do.
And I see guys sitting, I've watched the Korean baseball, I see the guys all sitting in the dugout with the mask on,
I pose this question because this is a scenario that also could come up. This is realistic. This could actually happen. All right. So somebody tests positive. Let's say Buster Posey tests positive. He comes back.
He's already opted out. Opted out.
All right. Pick a catcher.
Live and direct from Lee County. Okay.
Yes, sir. But the Braves catcher.
He is.
Tests positive. When he comes back, is there a mandate that says you have to wear a mask? Is that something that you see being instituted? A player, especially that position.
I think if a player's got to wear, if they're going to make
catcher.
A player wear a mask,
I'm only talking about a catcher.
He's not going to play. That's just me.
I'm trying to keep these guys off the field. That's going to be kind of tough.
I think it may apply to him
back
too.
And feeling better. These are all scenarios that are in place, and they're worthy of question, and I just wanted to get your opinion on it. We're going to come back and talk more baseball. Going to shift, though, next. NASCAR is back. Adam Alexander is back with us. He's going to join us next. It's Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Check us out on the Radio.com app and all your devices, including smart speakers.
Just a little bit. Just
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. It's Sam and Greg. Check us out on the radio.com app and all your devices, including smart speakers. You hear that music, it sounds like a big party. Mr. Crenshaw, before we get out of here, speaking of big parties, today is the anniversary of Disco Demolition. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, man.
Okay.
Yep, the White Sox game.
Yeah, and I had friends that were there. I did not go. I'm one of them people who said, I'm going to tell the truth, I wasn't there. Not like the folks here in Atlanta who all were at Hank Aaron's, epic home run. The stadium only held 50,000 or whatever, folks, but, he talked about a million people here in Atlanta say, oh, yeah, I was there that night. I swear they were there for that home run.
I wasn't there that night. I was there two nights. I was there two nights later with like 5,000 of my closest friends. That's how many people came to see the Braves back in the day.
Well, Duke, I'm going to get back to that because I got a story surrounding that. But let's switch and talk NASCAR. By the way, on Rick Hendrick's birthday today.
We want to welcome back.
Yeah, it's his birthday today. And I'm sure Adam has bought him a
Well,
nice
you
present.
Know what? Yeah. But you know what? Yesterday was Adam's birthday. So one day late, happy birthday to you, Adam Alexander. Welcome.
Thank you very much. And something tells me that Rick Hendrick is going to get more greetings than I did. I mean, that guy is pretty special. You know what I mean? I was treated really, really well yesterday. But Rick Hendrick, he is top shelf when it comes to the racing community.
Adam, can we stay there for a second? As we spent time talking about NASCAR, can you take a second and for the audience members who don't follow it as closely, they may know other owners and other sports, but what has Rick Hendrick meant to NASCAR in totality?
Well, I think he's a guy that he has had a lot of high moments, championships with Jeff Gordon, and I think Jeff Gordon is the guy that really help take Hendrick Motorsports to where they are today and create the expectations that they're always going to be a top-shelf organization, winning four championships, and did that in the 90s. Terry Labonte was able to win a championship with Rick Hendrick and grow for him for a number of years. And then along comes Jimmy Johnson, and he, carries the torch to seven titles and made them an organization that was not, one or two dimensional. They became a group that put three and four cars on the track at times that had a chance to go out and win every week. And I remember when they first introduced the playoff system and there were going to be four drivers going to Miami to run for the championship. That first year, most predicted, gosh, Rick Hendrick could have all four of his cars there. So that gives you a little bit of an idea of what the thought process is when you come to Hendrick Motorsports and where they fit in to the landscape of NASCAR. He's meant so much. Now, on the other side of that, they've had their fair share of tragedy. They were going up to Martinsville and we had a plane crash and Rick tragically lost his son, Ricky Hendrick and many others. And Ricky was a driver and someone that once he got out of the race car was going to take over and run Hendrick Motorsports, and just this flamboyant personality, just a neat, neat kid, always smiling. And so that family has had lots of tragedy to deal with too. But certainly when you look at the history of NASCAR, Rick Hendrick is someone, who's been a big part of the success and a Hall of Famer and someone that has left their mark for sure.
Spending time on the waitfor.com hotline is one with Adam Alexander. And he is social. You can follow him on Twitter at Adam1Alexander from Fox NASCAR coverage. Of course, today we're racing at Kentucky, and Jimmy Johnson is back to still talk about Rick Hendrick. Talk about what this week has been like and imagine what it's like for he and for his team. That team had just disaster happen to them last week, not only with him out of the car, but then their result at the track. But now he's back.
And I think it's got to be a little bit frustrating for Jimmy, Sam, because if you look at it, 10 days ago the guy tests positive and announces he's not going to race at Indianapolis. So he gives up his final Brickyard 400, a place where he's won four times. He's got roughly a 60-point lead over the playoff cutoff line. And so not only are you missing out on your final trip to Indy because this is his last season, he's now compromised his playoff positioning, and there's just got to be tons of frustration because even though he tested positive for COVID-19, he's asymptomatic, so he's not feeling bad. And then he comes back Monday, tests negative, and NASCAR had announced if he gets two negative tests at least 24 hours apart, he can come back and race. He tests negative again on Tuesday, and he's approved to race. While he's happy to be approved, I think he's frustrated because he's thinking, gosh, I was asymptomatic, and you wonder, could I have raced? And I know he had a lot going on in his mind, and he admitted that in a press conference earlier this week. The good news is, all of that's behind us now. The good news is he is going to be able to race. He still has a nice advantage over the cut line. And here's the other thing he's kind of got going for him this weekend. The Hendrick cars have been really, really good at mile-and-a-half tracks. That's what Kentucky is. And nine races in the history of Kentucky Speedway, every one of them has been won by a driver that has a championship. Jimmy has not won there, but he obviously has the championship part of it down. And so I think we should have some pretty good expectations for Jimmy today.
Adam Alexander joining Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Just briefly, I don't know if it actually came out of his mouth or it was attributed to Jimmy Johnson, but there was a comment made about him maybe dipping his toe in the open wheel racing once he finishes with NASCAR. Any truth to that, or you see it happening?
I do think there's some truth to it. He was scheduled before the positive test for COVID-19, was scheduled Wednesday last week following the Brickyard 400 to test an IndyCar on the road course in Indianapolis Motor Speedway. So I would be surprised if he doesn't run some IndyCar races next year. And Jimmy, when he announced his retirement from full-time NASCAR, said, I'm not done. I'm just done racing full-time. So I do think you will see Jimmy, racing other disciplines, maybe even, some NASCAR stuff. Might drop down, run some Xfinity races, maybe a truck race or two. And I do think there will be some open wheel in his future. Would he run a big oval? Would he run the Indianapolis 500? I don't know. I think it would be awesome to see him run the Indianapolis 500 just because of what he's meant to motorsports and, the history of it and so much that you can't do when you're running a full-time NASCAR schedule. But I do think at the very least we will see Jimmy racing other places, and I do think that includes open wheel.
They're racing at Kentucky this week, folks, and they've already been racing the last 3 days and three nights. And, Adam, you're on the call Friday night for a race with some adventure after the race was over. Some people squared off and went toe-to-toe up there. Talk a little bit about Friday night.
Well, sometimes you're just caught off guard. Maybe not by the fact that two guys get into a little brouhaha, but you're caught off guard by the fact of who it is. And it was Harrison Burton and Noah Gregson. And I've always heard that these two are buddies. And I've asked them about that. And then sometimes, they're a little bit hesitant. I mean, they do hang out together some, but they answer that question, are you friends, in a funny way. So I don't know exactly what their relationship is. But they definitely were not seeing eye to eye on Friday night. And Noah's had a run in with a few people. And he and Harrison were racing hard in the closing laps. And it wasn't something on Friday night that I think normally would create a post-race fight. But I think this is something that has been building. And so Harrison went over and confronted him. And they said a few words, and Harrison reached out, kind of pushed him in the chest, and he did it again, and then Noah went after him, and some crew members came racing in, and I don't think there will be any penalties from this for the two drivers. The video that we had, it was hard to get good video because we're just, we're limited on our cameras right now, and it was very dark in the garage, and they were kind of hidden, so I don't know that anything will come of this from NASCAR's perspective, even though there were a few crew members around. But we got a little rivalry going between Harrison Burton and Noah Gregson. They're 19 and 21, so they got a long time in their career to get this sorted out.
Finally, a rivalry.
Yeah. I'm not sure it's the one we're rooting for, Greg, but we'll take it, right?
Yep.
We talk with Adam Alexander from Fox Sports, and you guys are rounding third. You guys in the going to corner four here for your coverage for this year. Next week, you got the All-Star race, which is going to be different, a different location. Talk about that for a minute. The All-Star race is changing locations.
It was so crazy when that announcement came out, but I think it's a positive product of what we're dealing with right now, moving the All-Star race up to Bristol. And it's been at Charlotte every year but one. They did go to Atlanta one time. But yeah, Bristol, doing it on a short track. I think fans have always said, how great would it be to put the All-Star race on a short track? And this year they've decided to do that. And when you look, the format really hasn't changed. But just the fact that we're doing it at Bristol put some energy in this race that is just going to make it unique and different. And so I think, you know, the anticipation will be great for Wednesday night. And the other part of this that hasn't changed is we're still racing for $1 million, which, I think is always exciting. And that final stage of the race is going to be 15 laps. And so when you think about 15 laps on a short track for $1 million, which is what this is going to come down to, you know, the Noah Gregson, Harrison Burton dust-up might be minor compared to what we see on Wednesday night in Bristol with so much on the line.
Yeah.
The other thing is they're going to this choose rule. It's an experimental thing. And you know, so much you hear us talk on a broadcast about you want to be in that outside lane on the restart or you need to be on the inside lane. And guys will actually leave pit road. And they'll almost stop on pit road to get an odd or even position on the restart, knowing that that's going to help them get the right lane selection. Well, what's going to happen now is they're going to have a spot on the track before the restart where you choose. Do you want to be inside? Do you want to be outside? And so it's going to really change the way we look at restarts. And I think it's going to add another layer that's going to make this really exciting on Wednesday night.
Hey, Adam, we just have a moment left here. I wanted to ask you, any update on the crew member who got crushed, not severely, but he got banged up during the Brickyard 400 when that pileup in pit row happened?
Yeah, Zach Price, left knee injury, and he's out indefinitely as he continues to be evaluated, but he's going to be okay. And I think that was, that could have been a lot worse than it was. The video looked terrible, but he is recovering, and we hope he's back at the track soon.
I don't remember that ever happening in the past when I've watched that race at Indy. And for whatever reason, this year, these guys, I mean, am I missing something? Has this happened in the past where there was a pileup going into the pits? And I realize I'm only a few seconds here. But
yeah, we've never seen a pileup like that, but there have been incidents. That's the most narrow pit road on the circuit. So those guys are very vulnerable at Indianapolis.
Adam, listen, appreciate, as always, we want to thank you for coming on, the amount of times that you have this year, helping us get through some of the ups and downs going on with the sport this year. You guys have a great call at Bristol this upcoming week, and we look forward to having you on soon. And you and your family, stay safe, buddy.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me, guys.
Absolutely. That's Adam Alexander joining Sam and Greg here at Sports Radio 92.9
The Game.
Yeah, Sam, I wanted to get an update on that crew member because that was nasty looking. You know?
Yeah, and that was scary. That was pretty scary.
Anyway, hold tight, folks. The updated, new and improved HBCU update is up next with our own Jahi Whitehead. That's coming up. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Be sure to check us out on the radio.com app and all your devices, including smart speakers. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. It's Sam and Greg here, 6 a.m. to 10 every Sunday morning. Tell your friends. And you also check us out on the radio.com app, all your devices, including smart speakers. That sounds like somebody's fight song. As we move into what is going to be renamed, rebranded in just a little bit, our own Jahi Whitehead gives you an HBCU update every week, and he's featured a different fight song. Well, actually, I think the first couple were Howard from Howard University.
It's just drumline. That's drumline.
Yeah, not necessarily just fight songs. More drum lines and bands, battle of the bands, things of that nature, things that are indicative to our HBCUs.
Okay, but before you did play Howard.
So who's drumline?
Yes,
was
I did play Howard.
That's what
absolutely.
I was getting to.
Oh, absolutely. I did play that.
Boys, I was doing a whole intro thing here. I was like going to bring it back around. y'all jump in with your drumline thing. I knew that. But anyway, Jahi, it is all yours, man. Let us know what you got.
All right. So first up in the HBCU update, that will be named later on in this segment. The first thing we have some good news. Clark Atlanta has hired their new coach, Alfred Jordan. He was a former player. Played at Clark Atlanta from 2006 to 2009. He also led them to the CIAC championship that year. He was a just recently he was a coach at Arkansas Little Rock as an assistant. So he will be coming up as the head coach, head basketball coach of Clark Atlanta right now. To give some little bad news for the CIAC and the CIAA, actually, they have suspended their fall season for this year, citing COVID-19 as issues. They released a joint statement saying that they care more about their players. I'm paraphrasing, of course. They care more about the well-being and the health of their players more so than the athletics. So they will go move forward with trying to figure out what they're going to do for the next season. Some schools that are a part of the CIAA and the SIAC. For the CIAA, you got Fayetteville State University, Bowie State, Claflin, St. Augustine's, VSU, and VUU, Virginia Union University. For the SIAC, Albany State, Benedict College, Central State, Clark Atlanta, and our own Morehouse College here, both here in Atlanta. SIAC is centralized here in Atlanta. Headquarters here in Atlanta, CIAA's headquarters here in Charlotte. So both pretty close right here. SIAC's home. So that is that would be a big hit there. Some MEAC news. The MEAC, they are starting in esports. And I know you guys have covered esports for some time. Blaze Fire Games. Yeah. Blaze Fire Games, they are a esports company. They are partnering up with the MEAC. All 11 schools in the MEAC will be able to participate. We know that's going to dwindle after this year because some schools are leaving the MEAC. But as of right now, all 11 schools can participate. You'll be able to play Rocket League, NBA 2K, Madden, and Super Smash Brothers. This is open to any current student, alum, and the university staff, all those members can participate in the esports, and they'll be giving out scholarships as well. So this is actually going to be pretty good. Esports, according to industry experts, they brought in over $1.1 billion in revenue as of last year. So that is going to be pretty big. Also, we have the transfer portal. We're seeing a lot of young men leaving their former schools and going to HBCUs. This week we have two. I want to highlight two special guys, that, and of course there's so many more. But Tavion Land at Liberty U. He was a four-star recruit, defensive back recruit that went to Liberty U. The first four-star recruit that they have ever recruited. He has decided to leave that institution due to racial insensitivity, and he is going to go to Norfolk State University, which is his home school, which is where he grew up and in the area he grew up in. So he's going to be at Norfolk State University in Virginia. And Sharon Wright Jr. Now, Sharon Wright Jr. is the son of NBA player Sharon Wright Sr., played for Toronto, and I want to say Charlotte. I want to double check that. But right now he was at Wake Forest as a sophomore, but he will be transferring to Morgan State University in the MEAC. So we have some more competition in the MEAC going there. It's going against McCorr Maker over at Howard University next year. So they're going to be competing. So we'll see what happens there. It's going to be pretty interesting.
That is Jahi Whitehead, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com, with a soon-to-be-changed HBCU update.
Yes.
We do it every Sunday at 8:40.
I want to change the name now. I want the drum roll to do. Man. I have a whole drum roll to do it. So
you got a pre-production.
I got a pre-production.
Sam, back off. Let's go.
So the name.
I'm standing back.
The name of the HBCU update will be Stomp the Yard, people. Stomp the Yard. Stomp the Yard will be the new name of the update. I've decided to change the name to Stomp the Yard. For those, I want to make the correlation. For those who know any much about HBCUs and our Divine Nine, a big thing of our HBCUs, we have our yard and our Divine Nine do our step shows on, and that's our Greek fraternities, do our step shows on the yard, sometimes off the yard. But anytime we do it, when we step in, they call it Stomp the Yard. So we are stomping the yard every
and
Sunday.
You ain't saying what I'm doing. I'm
Are you stomping? Because I know you.
I seen your picture. I got a picture.
I know you frat.
Yeah, man. So I got to take a picture and put it out there so folks can see this.
Yeah. So Stomp the Yard will be the new name of this segment moving forward.
You better hurry up and trademark that. Somebody's going to steal it.
So I just want to unveil that. And one thing I really wanted to talk about with you guys, the eSports. eSports coming to the MEAC, which bringing in, we saw that it brings in $1.1 billion. $1.1 billion in revenue annually as of last year. So for the MEAC, that now every school has been hitting as far as the COVID-19 and everything. Right. Now for the MEAC to start this league and to potentially make money on it, you don't have to worry about traveling. How big could this be for universities like HBCUs and stuff like that to moving forward? Or any universities bringing this, and how do kids like – get appealed to that more often?
Here's Sam, I don't know about you, but here's my question, because I'm wondering this. I wonder if as it became more mainstream, did esports sort of level off and maybe not be as popular in other words, continue to grow the way it was? It was a fringe activity for a while, then all us regular folks got involved in it and professional athletes started buying teams and all
of
that.
I don't know how much we got involved in it. Go ahead.
Well, no, my point is, has it peaked, or do you see it continuously growing? And will this pandemic hurt the growth in that people may want to get more outside as opposed to staying in and doing things like that? That's my question. This is one of those questions I think that maybe you and I are out of the range of answering, because we don't play it as much as somebody's in their 20s, so maybe we got to get a perspective from somebody else. But Mike, you keep your toe on it a little bit more than me, and I'm just wondering, have you seen it level off, or is it still growing? And the want to be connected.
I think it's still growing, and it's growing in different ways. As we see, like the Mid-Eastern Athletic Conference is going to get involved in it. Remember, just last year, the Georgia High School Association is giving varsity letters.
Yes, they are.
So it's going in different directions. It's not just the people who stay up all night, international, and people who are on Twitch and whatnot. It's expanding. So it's morphing into different areas. So, no, people have discovered it. When we first started talking about it, you know, it seemed like it was this very closed community, Greg, and it wasn't that long ago.
No, it wasn't. But I think you said it though. Maybe it's just because it's more expanding as opposed to growing, because people got into it. Now the reality of their investment from a couple years ago when we first started talking about it is starting to pay out, and maybe that's it. I just don't know if the interest is still there like it was.
But the other aspect, what I want to talk about, was the money aspect. I think that was big. And what y'all talking about as far as growing is great, but when we're talking about as far as what they generated now, we're talking about that $1.1 billion. This is total. This is everything that is brought in. But just to think about that money now trying to hit the MEAC, and how could that help their sports, their conference, as far as that? Like, does that boost their conference up as far as financially to help them in any way to help any other sports? Because you don't have as much overhead as you would have in your other sports.
Point taken. No doubt it
boosts the profile. It potentially boosts the profile of the institution in a different way to some places where people who may not have noticed it before will take note because they're participating in it. And I think that's the thing you talk about. You know, we talk about a young man who's in NASCAR is coming up, you know, Roger Akaruth. And I sent you something about him this week. We'll get into him another time.
Yeah.
But he's going to Winston-Salem State. He's future in the line behind Bubba Wallace. We want to know who's the next person. He's born here in Atlanta. He's going to be a freshman going to an HBCU that has a program in engine building for NASCAR. They had a program in team management for NASCAR. Well, a lot of people don't know that. Well, now they're going to discover it because somebody's there and putting it out in the HBCU. So I think that's something else you talk about with esports. Knowing that it's there brings more people under the tent, so to speak, that know what's available through HBCUs, and to me that's a good thing.
And I was just going to say that any revenue stream coming into those universities is a plus, because at the end of the day, they still want to be able to get a seat at the table to negotiate with these networks, because the bread and butter comes from the traditional sports. And they want to be seen. Those players that are transferring or going over to HBCU schools that were passing up on the Dukes and the Michigans and the Floridas, they are going to go to these other universities to play basketball, to play baseball, to play football, to play whatever the sport it is. Yet they still would like to be seen nationally. And as the HBCU schools, again, get all the other get the opportunities that the bigger universities are getting, it's all a positive. So whatever revenue stream is coming that way is great, but I still think that they're trying to put themselves at the table to talk to network whatever to get their big programs, to get their big sports seen nationally.
Does this help a little bit as well? Is one question that I'll ask, because with esports and things like that, we have stuff like Twitch, YouTube. These guys are playing live. What's the other app? Caffeine. These guys are playing live and people are interacting with them. Does that also can increase the profile? So how much does that help? Do you think that has an effect on the exposure that can also benefit as far as TV revenue and things and stuff like that, to actually get you to see that, or not even revenue, but to get you to see at the table for TV exposure?
Sam, I think any visibility is a positive. Yeah. How much, I don't know, but any visibility is positive, because when they get on stage, whatever the stage is, they do a better job than most at highlighting what's going on campus, their history, things like that.
Yep.
You don't get that from the bigger universities, because they figure everybody already knows it.
And you know what? Bring those rivalries there, and nothing else. You know what? If you can bring the dance teams and the band in there too, yeah, folk gonna be totally. And I'm not kidding. I'm not joking. That's part of the HBCU experience. Bring that to eSport, too, in some kind of
I've
way.
Always said, if you anything know, that you I do mean, televised.
That's part of the uniqueness.
Anything you do televised with HBCUs, as far as sports, any competition, you have to involve the band, step shows, anything like that. You have to show the atmosphere of the HBCUs. You're not just selling the school. You're not selling the sports. You're selling the school and selling the culture.
Let me ask you guys this. Is the future of bands, those bands in the HBCU schools, going to be jeopardized by this virus? Sam, you were talking about earlier what comes out of the bottom of these instruments.
We can talk about that next week.
Oh, for this year. Moving forward, yeah, that's always going to be there now. That's going to be there. But for this year, it's going to be tough for this year.
Yeah. Coming up 9 o'clock hour, we're going to get back to talking about college football as it tries to return, and get a report from what's going on down in Orlando with Atlanta United, and what's going on with the NBA with our own Mike Conti, and another look at the all-decade Falcons team. We're going to concentrate on the offensive side of the ball. That's coming up. It's Sam and Greg. Jahi, thank you very much. I'm going to just call it Sty. Stomp the yard. Your style update, STY, the new name for the HBCU update. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Check us out on the radio.com app and all your devices, including smart speakers.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.